with your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Investigating and reporting on government corruption and overreach, national security, national and international issues. You're listening to Scott Wheeler and Through the Looking Glass on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. And there has been late-breaking developments in the COVID-19 investigation. Of course, if you've been paying attention to my reporting over the years, you would know that these breaking revelations are not only not new, we actually covered them in depth when I interviewed a Chinese defector who was a doctor who was also a scientist who was studying the virus and studying the Chinese weapons technology, biological weapons technology program, and what they were doing. And she, this doctor who's now famous, but she's been on many conservative television broadcasts, revealed that she was following the COVID-19 developments even before the outbreak of the COVID-19. She claimed it was a biological weapon, part of a biological weapons program that the People's Republic of China was developing. And she maintains that it was not a mistake that it leaked out. Now, we cannot demonstrate that. There's very difficult to prove, and the Chinese have cleared everything. So it's not, there's no way to know at this point whether it was an intentional leak or whether they kept it quiet in order to have the rest of the world be infected the way that it had infected their own populations. And so it is a very difficult story, but we will have more on this in the coming weeks and months as we uncover more and more. Now, let's shift gears to what we've been investigating for quite a while, and that is the Antifa. As everyone knows, that stands for anti-fascists, but they are, the group is anything but that. They're intent on posing their will on to the United States, and it is their objective. Their stated objectives is to overthrow the U.S. government. What's peculiar about this is how much aid and support they've gotten from members of the Democratic Party, the Democrat Party in the United States. It makes no sense. They're almost like the Democrat Party's Red Guard, like Mao had during the Cultural Revolution in China in 66 to 68. And apparently these Antifa thugs have not gotten the message or haven't studied history to the point where they understand what happened to the Mao's Red Guard when Mao was finished with them. It didn't end well for them. Most of them ended up on slave labor camps, and that's likely to happen to Antifa. But for the moment, let's go back and cover something. This is breaking news from Daniel Greenfield at Front Page Magazine. He's reporting on a recent judgment that was handed down in New York. He says the Black Lives Matter race riots in New York City were among the worst in the country. Racist mobs injured hundreds of police officers, started fires, looted stores, and vandalized parks and statues. At least 450 businesses, many of them small and family-owned, were damaged or looted by rioters who claimed to be angry over the drug overdose death of George Floyd, a vicious career criminal who had previously robbed a woman by putting a gun to her stomach. While Black Lives Matter was swimming in hundreds of millions of dollars funneled to it by radical nonprofits, major corporations, and entertainment celebrities. Family businesses in New York City, looted by those rioters, were offered a maximum of $10,000 to rebuild their shattered lives. One small business owner in the Bronx complained that it would hardly even begin to cover the $200,000 in damages to her store after rioters smashed glass display cases and medical equipment. But participants in an extremist group's Bronx protest are getting a much better deal. Now, the BLM, of course, is Antifa. I should correct that. They're not exactly Antifa, but Antifa and BLM work hand in hand. In fact, some of the more violent riots were done by Antifa along with the Black Lives Matter movement. New York City will be paying $21,500 to each of the quote, protesters, unquote, in the Bronx for a total of as much as $6 million. And none of that money will be going to the looted businesses. This has been described as the largest payout for mass arrests in American history. The BLM riot era class actions lawsuit claimed, among other things, that the police officers responding to protests frequently failed to wear masks or to assist detained protesters in covering their noses and mouths, and on occasion even forcibly removed protesters' masks, exposing protesters to a heightened risk of contracting COVID-19. So they won a suit. The rioters in 2020 won a lawsuit against the New York Police Department because they failed to provide them with masks. Now, if you remember, while the U.S. government and many state governments, including New York state government, and especially in New York City, were demanding that everyone wear a mask, and it was dangerous and a threat to civilization if you didn't, we're actually carving out exceptions for Black Lives Matter and Antifa riots. Now, Antifa does wear masks, but it's for a different reason than to prevent disease, the spread of disease. But that is what was the exception. Well, and everyone in the media knew it, and they said, well, this is more important than wearing a mask. Now, those people who received the mask exceptions for their riots sued the police because the police weren't wearing masks and failed to provide the rioters with masks, and they won a lot of money. It's amazing. This is America right now, and it is to say that the inmates are running the asylum is quite an understatement in this case. Now, to discuss what's happening in the United States with regards to loss of our collective sanity, and our institutional sanity is retired Marine Colonel Fred Peterson. Mr. Peterson, Colonel Peterson, welcome to Through the Looking Glass. Thank you for joining us on the great TNT radio.
Scott, it's great to be with you again.
And we are very appreciative of your service, of course, a career in the Marine Corps. And as I've said many times in the past, we fought the evil communists around the world only to come home and see them take root in our own country. Why? How could this have happened? And why did it happen, in your estimation?
Well, they certainly didn't do it through force of arms. They did it through force of corruption, deception, of both political parties, of utter lies, misrepresentations, manipulations, and insidious insertion within major media throughout the country, and collusion of motives with one world globalists who are also working towards similar ends of dissembling what we know as American freedom, as that star of liberty held up, and that that torchlight held up to the sky to enlighten the world. They are corrupting it at its root, at its base, and seek to bring it down. And they are succeeding. I really don't call that movement Black Lives Matter, because Black Lives are only useful as a stage prop to that movement. I call it Black Lives Murder, as any lies will murder. And murder is only the beginning of it. They have no restraint on their action, on their character, and they are abundantly resourced, in fact, in many ways, by tax dollars, by collusion within courts, by international infusions of wealth to their movement, because they seek to undermine liberty and put out that lamp held high to the sky and to the world.
So your argument is that Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the LGBTQ plus community, these are all independent actors, but they are serving the interests of people with different agendas. They all have their own individual agenda. At some point, is there going to be a clash between them, like the Red Guards with Mao?
No, I don't think there will be a clash between them. I think their funding comes from common sources. I think what they hold up as their justification and their raison d'etre, the reason why they exist, may be quite different, but it is there is no substance to it. It is all stage prop concoctions in order to put themselves over. As far as Pantifa goes, I don't even call them Antifa. I call them Pantifa, a bunch of little sissy boys that, unless they outnumber their opponents by 7-1, I've had run-ins with them, they will back down, look at each other, and walk away. That's how they're really pathetic, but they are well-funded, manipulated, I believe on a personal level, many of them are desperately searching for something to believe in, because they have lost belief. They have lost the American ideal, if they were ever given it, probably not. And they're desperately seeking something, and they find this collaboration and support within a mob of renegade sissy boys in order to be their family and their ideal. And they feel somehow virtuous in doing this, which is another an absurdity, but that is where they are. Where they are going is anywhere they are told to go and paid to go and rewarded with the feeling of virtue in going there.
You mentioned that they are, you describe them as soy boys, but they're actually middle class and upper middle class white.
Many
mostly
are.
Males, but some females involved. They're not some kind of Antifa, that is. They're not some kind of oppressed.
They're certainly not
disparate organization.
It's certainly not something that arose from the ground up. These are the elite, and actually, it's a sad thing, because in America, the elite used to be at one time they were elite because they were achievers. They achieved an elite status by hard work, by innovation, by employing people, by building businesses, building cities. And now they receive their reward by destruction and by turning their backs, in fact, on that which gave their families prosperity, on the very system that enabled them and they in the larger context, their families, to achieve the status that they have. Basically, they're lost children looking for a master, and they have found a master. And I will tell you, in Hitler, it was Sieg Heil. Here it is one sick Heil that they will give to those who control them, and they feel virtuous. They have found a religion. That religion is a betrayal of religion, betrayal of American ideals, betrayal of liberty, and betrayal of their countrymen and women who have built the most magnificent edifice to freedom the world literally has ever seen.
And yet their objective, their nihilistic objective, is to tear all this down. We'll talk about some of the things they're doing here in a moment to tear the United States down and why perhaps they're motivated by it. You kind of hinted at it with their rejection of Judeo-Christian ethics and values.
It's a big part of it.
And adopting this new religion for them, which is basically nihilism itself.
Indeed.
So we're going to take a short time out. When we come back, we'll have more with retired Marine Colonel Fred Peterson on Through the Looking Glass on the powerful TNT radio network. Stay tuned for more.
You should hear what Ross Cameron is talking about.
I just want to say that there's a lot of different ways to avoid war. They include engaging in trading activity. They include the investing in each other's businesses. They include learning each other's languages. They include marrying each other's daughters. They include building equity in a trust-based relationship. And the idea that the best thing our leaders can do is build and use more weapons, make more accusations, prepare the country by means of stereo media releases from former generals telling people to get ready for war, I'm not sure is the most creative response.
Ross Cameron on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
The conversation continues.
We chose not to vaccinate our children because we feel like the shot posed more threat than the disease.
On today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler, broadcasting from Washington, D.C. on the great TNT radio network. And with me is retired Marine Colonel Fred Peterson. And I should mention that Colonel Peterson and I have been on the front lines of many of these battles for a long, long, many decades. And so we have seen this come up. We've watched this. As I mentioned in the first segment, we devoted our lives to fighting the communists around the world, only to come home and find it taking root here in our own country. And you had one of the things you'd mentioned in the first segment, Colonel Peterson, is that the Antifa, these disparate groups that are attempting to overthrow the United States, and in some cases, BLM, Antifa, that's their stated objective. This is not an exaggeration or hyperbole. They say that's their objective. So we have to take them at their word and their nihilistic in structure. But it is part of this because we've abandoned teaching Judeo-Christian ethics to our children growing up, and the inherent need to find a religion has led them to this nihilistic approach of kill everything and destroy the freest, most prosperous nation in the history of the world that's lifted more people out of poverty and improved more lives than any other nation in the history of the world. And yet they're trying to essentially kill the goose that lays exactly. the golden eggs.
Exactly. I believe without waxing too biblical here, we live in a garden of good and evil. This is a proving ground for all of us, for each of us, and onto each heart, a mission is written to do right, to upreach. We are given the tools in order to achieve an uplifting of ourselves. However, we are also haunted by that slithering snake offering an apple and saying, take a bite of this and you will be as gods. And this is a struggle that is extremely personal to each one of us and yet stretches across all of mankind and all of history. This is where we are. This is what we are doing, trying to improve and uplift ourselves. And unless we have the right mission and the right alliance written on our hearts and take the right action to achieve that mission, we will fall prey and take a bite of the apple in order to achieve a different fulfillment, and that is evil. That is evil, and that played itself out in the establishment of the American state and holding up this, as we said in the earlier session, this shining light of opportunity to the world, not of where we are, but where we wish to go. And it is an upreaching. And yet you are quite right, I believe, in your assessment that this is at its root. You could use the word religious with a small r. This is a matter of declaring your loyalty to a right mission or being seduced by an apple offered to you by serpents. And too many now have left the way of the light offered by that torch of liberty and have gone the way of the serpent so that they may somehow fulfill that essential, elemental human need of fulfillment. And yet they are being fulfilled by the serpent, not the God. It's most profoundly at odds with what America has been, startlingly happening so quickly in front of us, and yet it is our duty to stand up and resist or to suffer the consequences of our negligence and our cowardice, ultimately, moral cowardice as well as physical.
We're speaking with retired Marine Colonel Fred Peterson, and right now this week we had a breaking news story. It was on Fox Digital. FBI whistleblower Special Agent Garrett O'Boyle on February 10th was interviewed by the House Select Committee, Subcommittee on Weaponization of the Federal Government. This just broke. It happened in February, his testimony. And what O'Boyle said is that there was a tag that was a threat tag with regard to the Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade last year. And the threat tag turned into an investigation focusing on pro-life organizations. Quote, this is quoting his testimony. When this threat tag came out, it was like, why are you focusing on pro-life people? Unquote. He told the panel, according to a transcript reviewed exclusively by Fox News Digital, it's pro-choice people who are the ones protesting or otherwise threatening violence in front of the Supreme Court justices' houses. O'Boyle said the FBI wanted agents to look into what the Bureau called, quote, pregnancy centers, unquote. What these pregnancy centers are like what you used to see back in the 60s and the 70s, were clinics to help women, young women in trouble. They were pregnant, and they would help them, provide for them so they could have their child and put it up for adoption or perhaps keep it. And they would offer resources. And these clinics around the country that will actually show these young women an ultrasound of their unborn child and explain to them why it's important to provide this child with life rather than have it aborted. These clinics, as well as churches and other pro-life organizations, have been firebombed, attacked, threatened. The graffiti left at the site of some of these places has been, if abortion isn't safe, neither are you, directly threatening them. There has been, calculated on this program before, 240 such attacks on pro-life organizations around the country. And thus far, 240 attacks in 9 months, 9 or 10 months, and 2 arrests. 2 people were arrested in Florida for the attack on a Winter Haven pro-life clinic, Winter Haven, Florida pro-life clinic. Both of these people were Antifa affiliates. They were Antifa operators. Now, the 2 arrests happened about a month after we began this investigation into the attacks on the pro-life organizations, and found that Antifa was involved. And the next thing you know, we had the next thing that happened was we had these arrests. We started talking openly about the Antifa involvement with these. It's called Jane's Revenge is the organization attacking the pro-life centers. But Jane's Revenge was created by Antifa, and these are Antifa actors. And they were trying to cozy up to the pro-abortion movement in the United States and get them to join them in violent attacks. We found evidence to substantiate this, and we'll have more on this as we go along. But 2 arrests. Now, compare that to a month ago. Senator Ted Cruz, who was interviewing the Attorney General Merrick Garland, made this point this week. Also, he said, how come you were able to send armed FBI agents to get, capture, arrest, and prosecute people for praying in front of a Planned Parenthood abortion center? You can find them easy, but you can't find these people firebombing, committing acts of terrorism. There's no doubt about that. A firebomb, blowing up a clinic, a pro-life clinic, is an act of terrorism. And you can't find these. The Attorney General's response was startling. I know you've heard it. He said, well, the people praying in front of the pro-life, I'm paraphrasing, but he said people praying in front of Planned Parenthood do so during the day, and so they're easy to find. The attacks on the pro-life organizations happen at night where it's dark, so we can't see them. We can't find them. That was the Attorney General of the United States' response to that question, why they can pluck and prosecute so easily and attack people who would voluntarily come down to the police station to be booked, and they send an armed team of FBI SWAT team in to arrest them and drag them from their homes in front of their children and take them in to book them, when all they would have had to do was call them on the phone and say, we're going to indict you. Please come down. And
they certainly would have.
They would have done it. Were you shocked to see this, Colonel Peterson?
Actually, I should not have been. Neither of us and your listeners should not have been shocked. And yet we continue to be shocked by this, because the transgressions to our liberty, to what we know not just as liberty, but normal, common sense, actually this boils down yet once again to good versus evil. We're looking at the harvesting of organs of body parts that are being done in the name of science, in the name of a medical procedure, profession. And here you have some, they weren't objecting and attempting to violently or even any way stop an abortion. They were seeking to inform so that ones going in will have a full concept of what of the procedure they are actually engaging in. And that small life, that baby that will be extinguished and then harvested, is somehow a virtue to these people. It's once again, Pantifa again, in the midst of this, look behind the curtain. Who is playing their lines? Who is preparing them for this? Who is funding this? We need to look behind it. Dr. Mengele in Germany, prior to World War II here, was doing similar things, taking those who were somehow not acceptable and harvesting, murdering, and yet he is the fascist. They are the fascists, and they call themselves Pantifa. No, I will tell you what, the fascists are what they are. They are the ones seeking to impose, not an opportunity to inform choice upon the people, but impose a solution, a final solution, shall we say, in order to clear out whoever is their enemy. And they have so corrupted previously highly trusted, unquestioned federal agencies, not just law enforcement, but throughout the government, to cooperate and collaborate in their way. This is certainly our time to stand up, be counted, and join in saying, no, this will not happen here.
There is another event that is likely to touch off more rioting and attacks by Antifa and Jane's Revenge. There is right now a court in Texas is considering a lawsuit that was brought by pro-life organizations across the country. And the judge in Texas decision could ban a chemical abortion drug called mifepristone. And what happened was last year, the Food and Drug Administration approved this chemical abortion drug and for use across the country. And in the process, it violated all of the FDA rules for testing and approving a drug. Basically, they can't just approve any drug. It takes years of testing, but they made an exception for this chemical Fast abortion track. Drug. And the suit.
We've got babies to kill. We got a fast track.
They're on a mission for sure. And
bash the babies.
And so.
Then lock the dads up who ask questions.
A lawsuit in Texas, not only, this is from Nature, the Nature publication. A lawsuit in Texas not only has the potential to further restrict abortion access in the United States, but it could also set a dangerous precedent by overturning the approval of a medication by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Now, look how they word this. This, of course, coming from the left. They say, set a dangerous precedent. What are they calling a dangerous precedent? The precedent that the FDA has used for decades to prevent people from... I pointed this example out.
More manipulation of language.
A couple of years ago, that when we were discussing the COVID vaccines, that the way they were rushed through, and I pointed out over the years, we have seen, in particular, there was a father of twin sons who were afflicted with this rare disease that was killing his children. They were you know, like around 10 or 11 years old, and they had a couple of years to live. They were not going to survive this disease. There was an experimental drug that could have treated them. And the FDA said, no, we don't experiment on people. So these children died ultimately because the FDA said, no, we're not going to allow you to use right. these experimental drugs. That would be, and at that time they said, we don't use drugs to experiment on people. We don't use people to experiment with drugs. But the reality is, the worst happened anyway to these children. And yet the FDA stood their ground, if you can imagine such a thing. Stood their ground. We don't do that. We don't do that. Now suddenly they're willing to do this. Well, when it's politically expedient, when the party in power, the Democrat, the most corrupt institution in the history of Western civilization, the Democrat Party decides it wants chemical abortion, there's no rules. There's no rules that will be enforced on them or prevent them from doing it. They will come hell or high water. They will make a chemical abortion legal. Now it's up in front of the court, and there was no proper testing method. And that's the basis for the pro-life lawsuit, saying the FDA violated its own rules and standards for approval of this chemical abortion drug. And the lawsuit against the FDA brought by anti-abortion groups and physicians seeks to overturn the agency's 2000 approval of the abortion drug mifepristone. The plaintiffs allege that mifepristone, which is used in combination with another drug, misoprostol, is not safe, a claim that is not corroborated by the scientific evidence. Well, how do you know it didn't go through what they tell us?
It's also not quite safe for the baby.
Yeah, not safe for the baby, for sure.
I will tell you, what is so disturbing here is what, and first of all, your listeners should be delighted and actually applauded in that they have turned in to hear the truth. Because what has happened is, formerly known as mainstream media, has turned into the main sewer media, a flushing of truth, a flushing of truth, which you will not find in the main sewer media any longer. We need, and your listeners have found a place to go to hear what is really happening, to get true facts, and to be able to, on their own, they wouldn't have dialed in had they not within their own hearts been seeking truth, and they're finding it. Now what we need is not only to learn and then to know and to base our knowledge upon our belief and our high aspirations, but then to act, to carry it through and to say, no more flushing, no more manipulation. You will not put the flame of liberty out. We will hold it high, and you will be held responsible.
Well, I think voters are going to have to do that at the ballot box in the United States, and hopefully enough of them are going to be motivated and are going to have the scales dropped from their eyes. But until then, we are faced with this this enemy right in front of us that will ultimately destroy the United States if it is not contained and isolated and in many cases prosecuted. We're talking with Colonel Fred Peterson, retired Marine officer. We're going to take a short time out. We'll come back for our final segment on Through the Looking Glass on the great TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Equity, equity, equity. If the left is allowed to continue this racist effort, it'll be a major contributor to the end of the United States as we have known her. And it poses obvious dangers that the left, the media, and most on the right have decided not to discuss. We should strive to make sure that the best and the brightest succeed and attain positions that affect us all, whether it's in government, the military, in the cockpit of our jumbo jets, in the operating room, or in our courts, where the accused depend on the attorney sitting next to them them to help assure they get treated fairly. The latest lowering of standards comes from Delaware, where the state's top court has lowered the score required to pass the bar exam. According to Reuters, the court said that the changes include reducing the cut score on the exam. The number of essays is also being reduced from 8 to 4, along with the number of possible topics. Why? The court cited a report that claimed that the status quo may be a roadblock for people from underrepresented racial and ethnic groups who may be qualified to practice law in the state. In other words, equity. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
From national security to global corruption, you're with Scott Wheeler and Through the Looking Glass on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Through the Looking Glass. I'm Scott Wheeler. Joining me for the broadcast today is retired Marine Colonel Fred Peterson. Going into the break, we were talking about the chemical abortion drug that is about to be ruled on with regard to a suit that was brought by some pro-life organizations and doctors who say that the FDA violated its own standards by approving, for obvious political reasons, approving a chemical abortion drug to be sold online and sold everywhere, basically. And there are Antifa groups passing these drugs out around the country, even right now as we speak. And this lawsuit could overturn the use of this and force the FDA to go through its normal approval process. And it is going to cause more violence, I think, once if this decision comes down and prohibits the dissemination of this dangerous chemical abortion drug, then we could expect more trouble from Antifa. But going into the break, you mentioned the media, the corrupt media, and we were just reading from a left-wing publication that its coverage of the abortion drug, claiming it's safe, touting the 4 years of FDA approval process it went through, which is bogus because the normal approval process is 12 to 16 years, as any pharmaceutical company will tell you. That it makes drugs more expensive, but that's the Democrat standard.
And 12 not to 16 one baby's years. Life was saved in the meantime.
Yes. And so we're talking about the media, and many, I've complained about this for years. They call them the liberal media. It's not the liberal media. These are not liberals. If they were liberal, they would have dismantled the corrupt Democrat Party right before our eyes, but they haven't done that. They're actually Democrat Party apparatchiks because they don't care about liberalism. They don't care about that. You know, liberals have values and standards. You know, we disagree with them. As conservatives, we disagree with them. But they at least have values and standards, and they believe in American exceptionalism.
But we should have the fundamental belief in the common forum.
The common good, yeah.
The common forum in which we discuss our differences and thereby reach truth through rational conversation. They reject that. They seek to impose. This has nothing to do with liberalism, classic or otherwise. This has to do with Nazi-like or we should say
fascist.
It is very fascist.
Very, very
imposition.
Fascist
imposition.
That in fact, the Antifa, which is supposed to be anti-fascist, actually believe in government control over the private industry.
Absolutely.
Which is the very definition of fascism. The very people, the Democrats calling Trump a fascist, have been taking over corporations and expanding government power over private entities for decades.
And the head shaking, almost, muttering irony of this is that the advocates of this that are in the street don't even know that they can't even, if you would stop and talk to them, they cannot even phrase the problem, let alone an intelligent rationale for their solution. They are all about being accepted by a group and praised for being there. They're cannon fodder. Find out who is behind the curtain, who is behind the pantyfa curtain, and you will learn a lot.
We do know that it is partially directed by academics, including a former professor named Michael Novick out in Portland, Oregon, where Rose City Antifa is located. That is that's the main branch of Antifa. But they have sprung up all over the country. We found them in Chicago, New York, Madison, Wisconsin, Washington, D.C., Florida. They're everywhere, and this movement is growing. And what we have seen from the federal government, including our premier law enforcement agency, the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, what we've seen is a lack of interest in taking them down or preventing them from expanding. And that protection that's being provided to them by the political class, and in some cases being bailed out of jail by Democrats. We saw in 2020, New York Representative Gerald Nadler, a Democrat, say that it didn't exist.
I went to law school with him.
Oh, that's right. You did. You told me this before.
Sat right next to him.
Yep. Did he cheat off? Did he copy off your paper? Because I don't think the man's smart enough to pass the bar in any state.
Without getting too personal, he is a character now. He was a character then.
Yeah, got a character. Well, he said in 2020, while Antifa was blowing up stuff, setting fires, attacking federal buildings, they actually had a guy named Von Spronson attack a customs detention center in Washington State with guns and firebombs. He was ultimately killed by the authorities. But while this is happening, Nadler, a prominent member of the Democrat Party in the House of Representatives, said that they didn't exist. Could you ask for better cover than that? It reminded me of back in the 80s when Mario Cuomo said that La Cosa Nostra didn't exist.
There you go.
And it was very similar in that sense.
It not only is that interesting to note, at least as interesting to note is the people who consult the main sewer media and accept that as being true without question, instead of going to the elemental rationality of their own brain and saying, wait a minute, there's something fundamentally wrong here, and following it. No, there's an acceptance, a go along, get along, pat on the back mentality that is profoundly disturbing, that you would not find on the bridge that arched the flood on the way from between Concord and Lexington. You simply would not find these people there. It's a pity. They need re-education, but they have to be open to it. I don't know how to recover them. However, we must resist them and the imposition of their mental tyranny that is being imposed upon the young, or we will lose the freedom we have been given.
I think the proper penalty for these guys would be to send them to other countries to work.
We'll give them a free one-way ticket to the country of their choice. America doesn't need you. You hate us. Goodbye.
Well, I mean, send them like in a Peace Corps. I don't mean permanently. I think just send them abroad. Send them to Cuba or Venezuela to help rebuild these countries.
You made your choice. Now live it.
Goodbye. That were decimated by communism. Yeah. I actually think that process would convert them, and they would have the zeal of a convert once they saw that they'd been lied to in their gender studies courses at Bard College.
Or they would die in a work camp.
Yeah, or die, or the work would kill them.
But either way, they might be better off.
But there has to be a way for this to be dealt with in a logical and sensible manner. But if we don't act fast as a country, it's going to be
indeed
too late. And
absolutely,
we're at this point now where you've got, you know, I believe that there was a lot of chicanery in the 2020 election, but we can say for sure about half the country voted for Joe Biden. So half the country, you know, some of those people voted for him intentionally.
Several times.
Voted for him intentionally because they believe in the destruction of the country, but probably half of those who voted for him were too stupid or ignorant to know better. And so they voted for a guy who obviously had taken millions of dollars in bribes from other countries.
Career long, and had crook.
It basically came to Washington when he was in his 20s and had very little.
Hasn't have a job.
And turned it
for
into
his entire life.
Yeah, and turned it into a $50 or $60 million empire. And nobody wonders how you do that on a senator's salary. And vice president's salary.
Multiple multi-million dollar homes. Oh, how did that happen?
Yeah, it's
10% for the big guy.
And nobody questions this. And of course, we can't expect, we don't expect the media to ever question it because they're political hacks for
but
the
that's
Democrat
uncomfortable
Party.
To question it. Don't you know that? You're
yeah.
making me uncomfortable.
And what's even more bizarre, you remember probably as I do, in prior to 1993, human rights in China was of paramount importance. In fact, Bill Clinton made it probably the third most important issue on the 92 campaign. Human rights in China, and H.W. Bush had been coddling the butchers of Beijing, as he said. His words, Bill Clinton's words, coddling the butchers of Beijing. And then Bill Clinton comes into office. No one knew at that moment that he had been taking money from communist China for years. He comes in and immediately dismantles our ability to control the spread of strategic weapons technology and allows China to buy national factories while they're producing high-tech national security weapons for the United States military.
I just wonder what the market value of that decision was.
And it's such a bizarre thing because all of the sudden, the press, who had been all about human rights in China,
there you go,
suddenly abandoned the idea. And I reported on it. You recall, we did extensive reporting on this in the 90s. And the press was saying, well, they're right wingers. And I said to my colleagues, since when did human rights in China become a right wing issue? And they would never have a good answer for
that. But it wasn't that you were a right winger weeks before that turn happened. Then we were all on the same side because that's the way the conversation was being led. Again, main sewer media, be careful, or you'll drown in the swamp.
As we close out the broadcast today, Colonel Peterson, do you have anything that you think people should do? What actions can people take to get involved at the local level here in the United States and perhaps globally to help restore the Judeo-Christian ethic that came out of the Enlightenment period?
I'd say for the first thing, I would say be alone. Think, listen to your heart, listen to your head, have them work together, listen to your values, that uplift you and make you an upreaching person toward the light. Secondly, when you have had that conversation with yourself about the things that are really urgently important to you personally and the role you can play in it, find out what you can do to act upon it. Not just talk, talk, talk. We need action. We need alliance. We need a commonality of good people in order to achieve a good end. Otherwise, we will go the way of all failed governments and this great experiment in liberty that we have in the United States. In an age of AI, in an age of technology, will disappear perhaps forever. We need you now. Please stand up, support each other, and win.
All right, that wraps it up for this edition of Through the Looking Glass from Washington, D.C. for the powerful TNT Radio. I'm Scott Wheeler, signing off.